You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can barely hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two. You are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges. We come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast. And wow, what an hour with Steve. And I blinked. It was over. There was quite a dialogue between Steve and Bob. And I agree. All things are being revealed. YouTube can try their petty little crap, and it's not going to work. They're not going to stop the truth, because the truth will find a way to get out, even if they kill truth killers. Anyway, I'm going to get to that a little bit more. I want to talk to Bob about that in this hour as well. We're still trying to get in contact with Mike Adams. Haven't had success yet, but we're going to keep trying. Boy, my head's spinning from the first hour. Let me gain my equilibrium back, and let's just jump into this. This hour is brought to you by storable food, great storable food, non-GMO, no glyphosates, 25-year shelf life, Numana Foods. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code Hodges9 to take 5% off. We're also sponsored by Ready Made Resources. We're going to have an announcement. Bob's got a little special deal for everybody out there. But ReadyMade has everything that you'd want, from communications to night vision to water filtration. You name it, ReadyMade Resources is ready to get you to the next day. And that's really all you can do when you're in crisis, is get to the next day. And Bob will consult with you when you call, unlike a lot of preppers who will charge you an arm and a leg and you'd swear you were talking to an attorney. ReadyMadeResources.com. And you heard at the top of the hour, Virtual Shield, man, that thing is awesome. You can scramble your IP address. They can't track you in real time. Your threat matrix score will go down and you get started for as low as $4.95. You heard that there in the end, just tremendous. Don't forget, use the coupon code Hodges to take 20% off. You can upgrade, but you can upgrade, but you can get started for as low as $4.95. And then one other thing I'd like to mention here too. Cryptocurrency is all the rage, and you want to know, it's really kind of funny. You think that YouTube is only censoring for this is funny. YouTube's only censoring for Vegas. That's a fallacy. They have demonetized 5 videos that I have done on cryptocurrency. Putin is now telling the banks in Russia, don't block cryptocurrency. It's almost like he's pivoting away from gold, raise money from cryptocurrency, and my prediction would be he'd go back into gold. And those are being demonetized. Unbelievable. The cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Ethereum, they don't want me talking about this. YouTube, you're showing your colors. I should say actually Google, because Google runs YouTube. And I will tell you this too. I'm going to say what I said in the first hour. Google, YouTube, yeah, I'll still go on there until they kick me off, and they will eventually kick me off. But you guys are, to me, what Jesus was to the bankers in the temple. He had to go in and throw the bankers out. Remember, at the whip in hand, throwing those guys out? Well, I have to walk where the bad guys are, too. So I'll keep posting on YouTube, because I'm reaching a lot of people. I reached 1.5 million in the last 30 days. So that's people that we need. We need the sound of marching feet. But do I have anything but contempt and disdain for them? Absolutely not. And I'm going to say what I said at the beginning of the hour. The FBI narrative has blown up in their face. It's not believable. It has more holes in it than the Warren Commission of the JFK assassination. And now they're repeating history where they're killing off the witnesses. I mean, how about Kimberly Sukumel? 28 years old, Facebook post, talking about how she's being shot at on the ground, being chased down the street, running with friends for her life. Posted on Facebook, her husband goes to work at 4:30 in the morning, and grandmother comes over to the house to help take care of the baby, and she finds Kimberly dead in bed. And that's not all. Jesus Campos, who destroyed the timeline of the FBI and forced that whole thing back into revision, and they had to tell a second lie and then a third lie. Well, Jesus Campos was supposed to go on Sean Hannity and four other TV shows, and no one knows where the hell he's at. And I have a good idea where he's at, and it's not in a good place. And this is history repeating itself. So I'm going to say this again. YouTube and Twitter and Google, all you Facebook, all you social media communists, you are guilty of murder. When you conspire to cover up the facts and you conceal a crime, you are just as guilty. And I'll make a historical parallel here. Lyndon Johnson arrived at Parkland Hospital moments after John Kennedy's body was exited from the presidential limousine and taken into the hospital. And Johnson immediately ordered the Secret Service to clean out the limo. Why? Because they had to destroy the forensic evidence because they knew they couldn't match any bullet fragments to Oswald's gun. That's called obstruction of justice. A bunch of other felonies, too. Well, that's what social media is guilty of. They're guilty of being co-conspirators after the fact. I'm calling you out, Zuckerberg. And by the way, it's interesting. One more side note here. Zuckerberg, you want to run for president. That's a joke, but you want to run for president. You got called out by The Atlantic. The Atlantic magazine. One of the mouthpieces, because you're still letting a few of those comments through that, hey, I think there's a conspiracy in Vegas, and you're not getting all the things censored that you should. So they called you out today. They said you were killing democracy, and you're the reason that Hillary Clinton didn't get elected. That's right. That's what Atlantic said about you today. So the bastards, as Steve called them in the first hour, are actually fighting with each other. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. And I agree with Steve wholeheartedly. All will be revealed. And I'll repeat what Steve says. It's my favorite saying he's come up with to date. What's coming is no longer coming. It's here. I agree with Steve. I agree with Bob Griswold. We are in the midst of a communist coup to overthrow this country. Bob, sorry for the diatribe, but I listened to you guys talk, and I wasn't going to step on what I thought was just a tremendous dialogue. Just it was insightful, educational, and I'm getting text messages from friends, emails from people in our audience praising what they heard in the first hour. So, you know, I'm smart enough usually to know when to keep my big mouth shut. But I wanted to get that off my chest because inside I was boiling with every moment you guys progressed the narrative through the first hour. Bob, I want to go back to, by the way, I'm sorry, we got a little promo business to take care of, and then we're going to jump into stuff. You're going to reward people for being responsible in with regard to shortwave radio. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, first of all, just so people can read, a lot of the landlines are down in San Francisco, and these fires have burnt them down. So you have families that cannot communicate with other family members because their normal means of communication are down. The fire will not put down ham radio. Radio waves go right through fire. So what we're going to do, and we do want to reward those who are responsible. For anybody as of tonight, and that means as of the 15th of tonight, that will go out and get their technician's license, which is the first license you get as a ham radio operator, we are going to give away to them two of the Bofang F8 ham radios. Now, these are multi-wattage, 1, 4, and 8 watt, the most powerful handheld you can get. It's about $150 value. And, Dave, I'm going to leave it up to you because I want to make sure people understand that this prize will be awarded. So what they'll do is they'll contact you. They will get a call sign. Mine is Kilo Mike 4, Indy Echo Quebec, KM4IEQ. We can verify that that call sign was issued after the 15th today. And that person who's the first one to get that will get two of those radios. So you and whatever loved one you have, they would have to get their license also. They, in a time of crisis, you guys can communicate back and forth.
And how do you want to handle the notification, Bob?
Well, they just send you their call sign and their address. You give it to me, and I will send them the radios. And then they can acknowledge back to you that they received the radios. So
okay,
however,
so
you would want to... You know, your email address or the email address for the Common Sense Show.
Okay.
However, they want
to
do that. That would be
hard to get 800 emails a day. Me, you know what? I think we better change the logistics on this, Bob, because if we don't, I'm going to get thousands of emails, and I'll have
okay. Well,
time.
Then you want to make it come to me?
Yeah, I think that would be better. Yeah, given the volume of emails I get.
Okay, and then I will forward to you so that the listeners know that the prize has been awarded. I will forward to you the name and address of the person who does that meets the criteria of getting their ham radio license after tonight, and then you can verify that, or if you want to post something that you had a winner or whatever. But I like doing this, Dave, because again, I believe that communication is one of those things that if you intend to survive what we were talking about on the last. Last hour, communication will be a absolute necessity. I think you put an analogy, a picture in your mind, nail one foot to the floor and start running. If you don't have communication, that's what you'll look like. One foot nailed to the floor and start running. You'll go in circles. You need to have a good source of reliable communication. Ham radio is the only method of communication left to the American people that is not on a networked system, meaning they can't turn it off. They can jam it locally, but they can't turn it off nationally or globally. And so most people will have the ability to communicate if they throw the kill switch on the internet, if they throw the kill switch on the cell phones, if they turn the landlines off. Even your sat phones go through a network, and they can turn the satellite off, turn your number off, and you would be down. Ham radio, no, they can't do it. That's why you look at most tyrannical regimes, the first thing they want to do is outlaw ham radio and take ham radios away from people, because they know it allows us to do what you're doing right now, over airwaves, whatever, communicating with people and organizing, planning a strategy, all those things that we would need to do in a grid-down emergency crisis environment. Ham radio gives you the ability to do it. So we want to award a person with the ability. You know, if they just get their ham radio license, you get the radios for free.
That's quite a deal. Go ahead and give out that contact information again.
Okay, you would email me at robert@readymaderesources.com, or you can call me and give me your call sign. Either way, but again, I just want to make it clear, it has to be after tonight, so you would have to get your license issued on the 16th or afterwards, October 16th or afterwards. Sorry if you got it yesterday, but we're going to make it as of tonight.
Okay.
And that's robert@readymaderesources.com, or you can call me at 800-627-3809. And if you want to look up the radio online, it's a Bofang F8, Foxtrot 8 radio. And it's like I said, they run about $65 a piece. So that with the shipping, everything, it's about $150 for the radios. And with these radios, you can add all kinds of accessories you want to add later on to make your radio more powerful, add different antennas, do all kinds of things with it. But it's a great start.
Okay, I think that's terrific. Well, Steve said something, and you echoed this, through a Chinese general that you talked to, and I know you can't say a whole lot more about that, and I respect that. But let me tell you what Steve and I have talked about privately, that this did not come out, and this is not privileged information. So the Chinese have been promised the infrastructure. The Russians have been promised the booty. The day-to-day stuff, and including the women. So, Bob, your admonitions about women are true.
It's absolutely true. And we even see it right now in part that our politicians are selling out to the Chinese and Russians for money that they get in their secret accounts. You know, our water rights are being stolen, timber rights, property. The Chinese are buying up, you know, vast portions of our country. Congress should be in there saying, no, you can't do this. We're not going to allow it. Because we do know that as China gains more and more influence in this country via their ownership of the country through whatever properties or media they buy, they use it to influence politicians. And if you think that influence is going to buy you more freedom, then, you know, you've been really severely deceived. The Chinese, and they come out very clearly, they admit that Americans should be disarmed. So do you think when China, as they buy more and more of this country, are going to in any way respect your right to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of owning a firearm? No, they're going to seek to eviscerate all those rights. Dave, we are in critical jeopardy. We're a critical mass. I mean, I love Steve as a brother. I've known him for gosh, since 1992 I met him the first time, and he has been spot on. I can tell you the reason where I'm at today in my life and my understanding of things is because of Steve. You need to listen to this guy. He knows what he's talking about. He has many distractors that have come out and seek to quiet his voice. They do not want that message getting out that America, our days are numbered. The writing, as it was in the book of Daniel, are on the wall. I just had a friend, a federal agent, go out. He was out in San Francisco doing something during the Gay Day Parade. I met him for lunch after he came back, and he basically said, you know, we're toast. This country, we are Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what he's telling me. I mean, that's firsthand. That's not hearsay. That's not Joe told Sam who told me. That's something was told to me. And when you start seeing these things and hearing these things of people who are in the know telling you that our country is in moral peril, gosh, I want to listen because the brutality of it is going to be unparalleled. The people listening right now, you know, and when I my travels overseas, I saw mothers sell their little girls into prostitution. I've seen mothers offer their children for sale because of desperation. Now, we don't want to think that would do that, but I will tell you, Dave, and this might upset people, for the mother out there, what would you do to feed your children? I know what you'll do. I've seen it. And some of those things in life that you wish you could unsee. It's a horrible thing, and you really do. You know, I'm a Christian guy. I see that, and there's something in my spirit that just grieves over it. But you see it, you have to deal with it, you have to process it through your brain, and it takes time to do that. But we don't want to think that coming to America, the sale, the wholesale captivity of American women that are just sold off wholesale to bidders. You just have to look. The sex market in America is thriving. And what do they want? You go look at the people they try to kidnap the most. Go figure. There it is. That's you. It's just going to be under different terms. Now they have to secretly abduct and smuggle out of the country, and it happens in mass. In Knoxville, we just had a big sex human trafficking sting. These young teenage girls, I mean, they're caught up into it, and they're just whisked off, and they're never seen from again. Fortunately, a couple were recovered. But this is going to happen in mass. There are things you can do tonight to mitigate the threat you face. You know, we tell people, don't try to limit or pull back from social media. When you have somebody on social media just taking pictures, and I mean, some of these pictures are very provocative, risque pictures of themselves, posting them over and over and over again because they want guys to look at them and see what kind of shape they have. Yeah, there's might be a good guy out there looking and saying, yeah, she's a pretty girl, but there's also a lot of predators out there that are putting those pictures away. And believe me, it intelligence community, Dave, is like an onion. You know, you start peeling layers, and the goal is you get to the inner core of the onion. The outer layers don't matter that much, but as you give more and more intel about yourself out on social media, believe me, hear me, there are people out there profiling you right now. Right now you're being profiled. So if you have these pictures and all this information about yourself and what you like to do and little giggly girl stuff that you like to do, there are guys out there that are not your friend that are profiling you. You need to really pull back from that and start doing things differently. Those are some of the things you can do. Start to remove your profile from the public position and stop giving out that intelligence. Keep in mind, like I said, intelligence is like an onion. Anybody who's ever peeled an onion, you got the outer layers and you just keep peeling and peeling and peeling it. Intel, you don't think that little pieces of intel about yourself mean anything. You think you can give it away and it's all cool and nothing ever comes of it. That is not the case. I've actually encouraged when a group will come to me, a Christian group, and they want to know how to form it and everything, and that's the first thing I tell them to do. You need to have an intelligence officer. You need to assign a guy in your group who gathers intelligence, and that means you have electronic intelligence they're gathering off the radio, social media, whatever. You have print intelligence that you can get from different things in your area, maybe festivities, activities, all these things, and you start to put together an intelligence profile for your group. And one of the things you want to do is anybody in your area that would have basically that would be counter to what you're trying to achieve, say a Christian group and they want to silence the voice of Christianity, any group in your area that would be vocal against Christianity, they have those social media, Facebook, so that you need to start intelling them and peeling their onion and getting to what they're about. That way you can see maybe they might tip their hand and you can prevent something from happening. Those are things that you can start doing right now, develop your own intelligence gathering network, because I promise you, Dave, and especially if you're a pretty girl and you're on Facebook and you're putting those little selfies up all the time, you've got people out there that are not your friends that are looking at them, and they're just not in the United States, too.
Well, Bob, there are other people that are not your friends either, and I want to issue this warning tonight. I issued this warning in an article today on thecommonsenseshow.com. I'm going to issue it right now. First of all, I've always said, as a matter of course, when the feds show up at your door and they say, oh, we're just here to talk, no big deal, don't say a word. Invoke your Fifth Amendment. Tell them you're only going to talk to them in the presence of counsel, because that's how they put you in jail. And I want to make sure everyone hears this part. And there's two parts here, Bob, to this. The first part is they can make up the fact that you lied to them, and lying to them can land you in prison for several years. This is what happened to Martha Stewart. She didn't do insider training. They put her in prison for the fact they said she lied, and it's your word versus theirs. And they will lie to put you in jail. They love that 97% conviction rate when you go to federal trial. The second thing, and the real reason I made the warning today on the article at the website, was due to the fact that witnesses are disappearing and they are dying. People that speak out are not going to be permitted to tell their story. And I'm telling people right now, if you witnessed something, you can give it to me and I will keep you off the record. But I can't promise that your phone's not being tapped. I can't promise that your emails aren't being read, because they probably are. So what I'm telling you right now is remove all social media related to the event. And then you go, Dave, the bad guys are going to win if you do that. I'm not removing mine. I'm telling the witnesses to remove theirs. It is a false flag. You know, Paddock came from the Philippines. He's part of a CIA ISIS operation. And I revealed that on Ted Brewer's show here on Global Star Friday, and I'm preparing an article on this as we speak. In fact, it's actually done, and it's been distributed to a few close friends, so sending them in to me in the middle of the night won't do any good, CIA. But, Bob, I'm telling people right now, if you're a witness, they've shown they're going to do the Kennedy kill off the witnesses situation. These people should not be speaking at all to the authorities. Tell them you didn't see a thing.
It's called the gray man, Dave. We live in such a narcissistic society, self-absorbed, you know, with the three most important people in our lives are me, myself, and I. And folks, I'm just telling you, you need to back away from that. You don't want to over-profile on Facebook, but again, you don't want to sometimes under-profile. You want to look like the average person. Post pictures of the grandchildren. That's what the average American does. I hear people say, well, I'm not going to use credit cards. You know, not using credit cards profiles you as much as maybe using them in the wrong place profiles you. You want to get to as neutral as you can. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a neutral person. It's just that your social exposure is neutral. So you want to look like John Q. Public. So, again, you know, the well-endowed girl who's doing it on Facebook, that's not... The guy's going to notice it. if you start giving out information about things, the people are going to notice it. It's going to start putting you in different categories, and I encourage people to back away from that tonight. Maybe you can even go in and delete posts you've put up there that shouldn't be there. That doesn't mean that they disappear. It just means they're going to be harder to find. But take this seriously. Take your situational awareness, your operational security, dead serious. Because if you don't, you just might end up dead. Not to scare anybody. It's not a fear thing. It's just the day and time we live. I can tell you, groups like Black Lives Matter, groups like Antifa, all these groups are profiling conservatives on Facebook. They are taking down information. They are writing it down. They're doing profiles of everyone they might deal with. When they know they're going to have a rally in a certain city, they're going to go onto Facebook and they're going to profile that city, who's there, what they're doing, what people are saying. They're going to get the pictures of the people that they might have problems with. They're going to pass them out among themselves. They might target their home. You just don't know where that intel is going to go. So again, it's like the onion. Don't let them peel it. I mean, you know, when I'm using ham radio, I want to say this right now. Using code speech on ham radio is illegal. Now, if you choose to do it after a collapse, you might want to practice it. But, you know, to protect yourself after a collapse, that's one thing. But knowing how to do it and doing it are two different things. There are ways that you can develop code speech without employing it, and if it ever comes necessary, knowing how to do it. But things like your name on ham radio, all those things, you know, date of birth, city I was from, all that standard intelligence, just be very careful about who you give it out, when you give it out, because if you're in any way having a high profile, if you're in any way posting something that's maybe anti-Arabic, anti-Muslim, anti-BLM, anti, you know, Democratic Party, whatever you're posting, somebody's going to take notice of it. And so just word to the wise, be careful. Don't give the intel out. Don't use your name. Just be careful.
Bob, do you have any trouble believing ISIS when they took credit for what happened in Vegas?
You know, Dave, the Islamists have infiltrated our nation under 8 years of Barack Obama. They have infiltrated our nations in ways we cannot even imagine. The level of subversion has been, it's at critical mass. I mean, you know, if we knew what the Obama administration did just in this category of opening America's borders to Islamic terrorism and bringing in, you know, Islamic people that have the ability to conduct military raids or military operations within the United States, if that was made public, I think the hue and cry to bring him to justice would be overnight and immediate. We do not know how grave our infiltration has been in just that one category, and there are many other categories that we have been compromised, but just that one category. And believe me, those people are smart, they are sharp, and they are using social media to profile anybody who would dare speak against them.
Well, the Sharia law scares the heck out of me, and I have a neighbor that went to a presentation yesterday regarding the, how do I say this tactfully, attempted Islamic takeover of American society, and it was pretty convincing. I heard from two other people who were at that same meeting. They said, Dave, you've got to cover this. You've got to cover this. We're actually going to have the main speaker on the show. I'm going to get in touch with him this week. But, Bob, there's no question they're after us. I detailed on a couple of different occasions that the Muslim Brotherhood had infiltrated DHS at very high-level positions. I identified who. I talked about their affiliations with the biggest terrorist group in the world, the Muslim Brotherhood, and nothing ever changes. And what's also interesting to me is we're now seeing the fact that DHS, and this is old news, but it ties to this association, DHS had an active shooter drill going on when the massacre in Vegas was taking place. And we know DHS is basically under the umbrella of Sharia law. That's who's essentially running the place. I'm not talking the leader. I'm talking the deep state carryovers from the Obama administration. And, Bob, there's just no winning. And I agree with Steve. Trump has no hope of getting out of the swamp unless we totally turn Congress over in 2018.
Our nation has been undone. We are just moments in history when historians look at this moment, you know, in the future, however it plays out, we are moments from absolutely losing this thing that we've called the American dream, the American Constitution, freedom for the average person. We are moments away from losing it. And, you know, you wonder what the epitaph to read. I mean, they were entertained to death. While their nation was stolen, they were watching whatever. Again, Dave, I really sense the need to go back and just do this right now. You know, God always warns his people through his prophets, which Steve says he's not, but I kind of think he might be. He always warns his people of what's coming. He's gracious. He gives us time. He gave Noah time to build a boat. He gave Joseph time to store grain. Throughout history, people have heard his voice and to do something. And it's one thing to tell people how bad it's get and what that, but there is hope if you will hear his voice. And I mean, Dave, you know, you got the new manna food. Ladies, I'm going to be blunt. You will sell yourself to feed your children. I've seen it. I mean, husbands, do you hear that? Do you want to put your wife in that position when their children are saying, "Mommy, I'm hungry"? And yeah, it's not meant to scare people or whatever. It's meant to hit reality. This is a way of life for so many people, and throughout history it has been that. It is time. Jim Rawls says it best. Team up, train up, stock up. You know, I could do a lot of things in life, Dave. I've done a lot of things. I may, you know, well doing some things. I do this business because it's a passion. And when I tell people, you know, they need to get the night vision, they need to get the radio, it's just not to sell stuff. I know what it does for you. I know how it will save you. I know how if you take these tools that are available to you right now and you employ them in your life and you exercise with them and you become very familiar with them, it makes all the difference in the world whether you end up at one of those FEMA camps or you can maybe escape the clutches of the people that want to do that to you.
Exactly. Bob, I want to interject this real quick here. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by Monica Wesolowski. And who's she? She's a State Department employee. And she called me yesterday, and it led to me filing a report on YouTube. That's right, and they've already banned it. They banned it right away, and despite the generic title. And she was present at, shall we say, Communist Revolution Terrorist Attack Fault Flag Variety Number 3. Number 1 was Vegas. Number 2 was what they were going to do in Times Square when they were going to kill as many people as they could in Times Square, blow up the New York subway with IEDs, and then they were also going to kill nearby concert goers the same way they did in Vegas. And now number 3 was what they were doing to Confederate reenactors. Remember Confederate statues? Racist, racist, racist. Now they're going after the reenactors here on the Confederate side. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Monica. And Bob, I want to basically validate what you're saying. These men are in senior level positions and they have Muslim Brotherhood connections with DHS. They're in DHS and they have senior level positions and they're affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. Arif Alakhan, Muhammad Elabari, Rashad Hussein, Salam Alamavrati, Imam Muhammad Majid, and Abu Patel. And I have written on the Common Sense Show detailed biographies with links to their terrorist affiliations, and they serve in this government. This is not a pejorative against Muslims per se. This is basically a pejorative against Muslim Brotherhood sympathizers, terrorist sympathizers who occupy high-level government positions. So, Bob, what you're saying there is right on the money. We've got Monica on hold. She was present at the Cedar Creek Civil War reenactment yesterday. Monica, thanks for joining us on such short notice. Mike Adams, somehow we just got crossed on the times, and I'm glad you could come on. And basically, can you tell us what happened yesterday? And our time is kind of on the short side.
Okay. Hi, Dave. Yeah, so my boyfriend is reenacting as, like, you know, something, a hobby for fun. And I went down there with a girlfriend, and everything was okay. We didn't see any protesters through the battle, And once the battle was over, as soon as it was over, we walked over to the souvenir tents and where they have food. And that's where, you know, we were only there a couple minutes. There's families, a lot of people, and that's the sad part, is that this was where all the spectators afterwards come, and they're not in the actual tents where the, you know, where all the people that are doing the reenacting are at. This was in the actual area where, you know, visitors can come. And the police started closing, taping everything off. And they looked very worried. They ran towards us and told everybody that they needed to leave a certain area. They were closing it out, and they started going, like, in section by section and taping it off with police tape and getting people out of there. And so after they closed everything off, that's when we found out undercover police officer came up and told us that there was what they perceived to be a pipe bomb. It was a pipe with bolts taped around it. And I found out from my boyfriend coming back in more details in the morning about what everything that went down was that it was an actual boy. A little boy found it and ran out with it. And so a woman in the tent tried to stop what she thought was a 25-year-old young adult or something that had dropped an item, which was this perceived pipe bomb, and ran out. And it did turn out to be, it appeared to be a pipe bomb, but whether it was fully functioning or not, what we were told is that they were on timers, that's why they didn't go off, and it ended up being filled with water. A bomb squad had to come, and they detonated it, and so it was discovered that there was water inside, but because there was, you know, bolts wrapped around it, it might have just been done incorrectly. But even if this pipe, which was sealed and then had bolts around it, had exploded, whether it's water or not, could you imagine bolts flying at a high, you know, fast velocity going across at people and this little boy that was in the tent that picked it up? That could have maimed or killed people regardless. And the second item located was what they thought was a soda bomb, and that ended up being found in a tent that would have been later used for the reenactors, for the Confederate reenactors to have a dance between. There's ladies that also come dressed up, and you know, they talk to people, and they talk to the public when the reenactment's going on, and a lot of times they're the wives of the reenactors, and so then in the evening they put on a show and they do an authentic dance. So this second bomb would have detonated when the participants were dancing. So it was definitely directed to cause some kind of harm, and whether or not it was a fully functioning or correctly made bomb, the intent was to create terror, because that's what it did. It created terror in people. A lot of people left early because of that. You know, there was chaos. It was shut down. We didn't know what was going on. They had to get, you know, FBI there. They had all the local police agencies were all surrounding it. Everything was on lockdown. The town was on lockdown, parts of it. You couldn't get in. You couldn't get out. Everything was searched. I mean, the point is that it created terror. And imagine these families coming to view this event. All they're wanting to do is see history. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason to erase history. And you had the Union and the Confederates there. And so, you know, now I'm hearing a lot of talk about the Union reenactors, too, are upset about it because they put time and money and effort into this, too. And they're not willing to erase history. That's what people aren't understanding, is that this is just history that's being reenacted. It's not, we're not being racist. We're showing history. And it's going to, unfortunately, create an atmosphere where families aren't going to want to bring their children, because who wants their child to be blown up or face that? And that was their ultimate goal, whether or not, you know, it did explode. The point is that it was an act of terror. The goal was to create terror and fear in people and to stop something from going forward. And the event for the next day was canceled, but they ended up doing the reenactment on Sunday anyways. And both sides ended up playing music, and you know, they played Dixie, and everybody got together. They were all giving each other hugs, you know, both sides. There was no hatred, animosity, or any of that. The public needs to understand that we can't let things like this stop us from being who we are and from being patriotic and American. And we can't let this one event stop further events. And so I think that, you know, events are going to continue. And whether they be official or not, that's the only sad part, is that it may be harder to make these events official because the National Park Service and other organizations have a harder time than protecting people. There had to be a lot of police officers out there. There was death threats made prior by, you know, a high school student. And that's the sad part, is you have high school students who are brainwashed, who are making death threats, which the reenactors had to sign waivers stating that they were aware that, you know, they may be injured in these events.
Well, hold it right there, Monica. I want to interject this here. I have information, and I think you mentioned this too, that the prior threats led to an indemnification agreement that the Confederate reenactors had to sign, saying they would hold blameless the sponsors of the event. So they had an idea this was coming. Is that right?
Yes, yes. They were well aware, so at least several days in advance. And unfortunately, it seems like Washington Post had an inkling, or somebody gave them a tip. And so they had wanted prior, the night prior, they had wanted full access pass in case something happens at the event.
Oh, you told me when you called me. Yeah, I was on the golf course on the next to last hole, having a good time. I was having a great round. And fortunately, I didn't let this break my concentration, Monica. I want you to know that. I beat my son, who's really good, by one stroke. So, long story short here, Monica calls me and is telling me about the event. And I'm saying, whoa, this is crazy. Monica, I'm not off the course for a while, and meeting my wife for dinner a couple of miles away when we're done. So we got there, and we all did searches. You look up CNN, you look up Fox, you look up ABC News. Nothing. Crickets chirping, and you had told me Washington Post had been refused admittance, and I thought, well, let's do this now. So we quickly figured out how to do a cell phone YouTube, and we'd never done one before. We stepped outside the restaurant, and my son recorded it. We put it up right away, and that's what's up there right now. Absolutely phenomenal that the mainstream media is not covering it. And Monica, I think the reason they didn't cover it is because they didn't get the effect they wanted.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm actually surprised. So we just read the Washington Post article tonight. They still came up with one. They did put the details out, but not all of them. And I'm surprised that they actually were less biased than what I was expecting. They actually were very much, they tried, I guess, not to be biased, but I didn't see very much coverage. I heard initially that local news was covering it. It was being covered in the moment. And from what I know is a lot of posts at some point later on were taken down by YouTube, on Facebook. People
I'm
were
one
being
of them.
Censored.
I'm one of them right here. Yep, they got me too. They got me too. So you're right. Facebook got them. I had people writing to me today about that. YouTube took mine down probably about 3 or 4 hours after, and I'd used a generic title on purpose. And I understand Twitter was blocking transmission of these. So you're right. You're absolutely right. They didn't want to hear the foiled terrorist plot. I mean, that's what happened in New York at Times Square, Monica. I mean, it was all over the media for about 6 hours, and boom, someone flipped a switch, and that event never happened. But this is the third major attempt at a terrorist event. By the way, Monica, are you going to tell me what other people have told me who've contacted me who were there? The word was Antifa, Antifa, Antifa,
yeah.
And they're the ones that issued the threat ahead of time.
Well, we thought that it was Antifa thugs from the beginning, and we had heard that Antifa was, you know, making threats that people would die, and, you know, so that was one of the things when I first got there, I thought maybe I spoke too soon. I had said like an hour before, oh, look, it's so quiet. There's no protesters. And they were taking it very seriously, security measures coming in, because I had a hard time getting in, and I had tickets in advance. And I was kind of like, hey, why are you treating me like this? Because, you know, my boyfriend's reenacting here, and we already have tickets. Here's my, you know, ID. Like, I should be on a list. And, you know, the measures were pretty strict, and people were taking it very seriously. And each section that you went through, they would look at, do you have a wristband on, and, you know, are you here with a participant or not, and stuff like that. So you couldn't go on beyond, you couldn't go back to the tent beyond a certain point unless you were there with a participant. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to go because I was there with the participant. So we got to go to the whole entire tent section and see everything that maybe the public didn't get to see. And, you know, there's an infantry side and cavalry and all that, and there was, you know, thousands of tents out, and I saw overwhelming. I mean, it was spread out pretty far across. You had to walk almost a mile back to where the tent we were at, so that was pretty far in. That shows you how many people were actually there. I know I sent you pictures, and it may not look like it, but there was a ton of people. I mean, I have video of the cavalry going through in the beginning part, and, you know, after the battle, and really the event, it was really quiet. Everything was great up until, as soon as it finished, and we were kind of walking through looking at the souvenirs, we looked at it in advance and thought, hey, we don't want to miss the battle. So we went to see the battle, and then when we came back, that's ultimately when that all started. And my first thought was, yes, Antifa, because, and that's what we discussed afterwards, is because they had made the threats, and it was happening on the Confederate side. It was mm-hmm. happening, you know, the fact that it happened on the Confederate side, and we pretty much thought that it was racial, you know, it was very much a thing against being conservative or representing the Confederate side.
I think it's just a ploy to basically try to pit one race against the other. We're joined by, let me just say this. This is an exclusive report here on the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges with State Department employee Monica Wesolowski. We're also joined tonight by Bob Griswold of ReadyMadeResources.com. Bob, you've been listening pretty intently here. Go ahead and give us your quick reaction to any questions you might have for Monica.
Well, again, I can promise you social media was used in exploiting this group. Dave, I do historic reenacting. This weekend, there's a huge historic reenacting at Fort Loudoun. It's the French and Indian War time period, but we are involved in that. Believe me, my profile of security awareness will go up substantially based on this. Different time period. There was, you know, French, Indians, and in English, but they seek to destroy everything that ties us to our history. That is Marxism 101. You cannot deny that. I've been to a lot of these historic reenacting meetings. For years I've gone to them and participated in them. The sides it's not like it was, you know, 150 years ago. The reenactors don't hate each other like they're really at war. It is called living history. They are out there to educate the American people on a historic event that happened in our country. Visual history, seeing it visually, is a great learning tool. So it has nothing to do with in any way protesting in some way that the Confederates that are reenacting are racist. It has everything to do with stopping the discussion of our history, why, who, what, when, where, why, where we're at. Now, going back to it, like I said, and I think this fits in very well, social media is used. The people who do that reenacting, and Antifa will profile you. If you're doing, you don't think they're taking pictures, asking names, collecting handouts, anything, organizers. This is what we're facing, and this is why our security awareness has to go up dramatically. In any way, shape, form, if you're involved in something that can tie you to a group that they can attack, then you need to mitigate that threat or prepare for it.
You're right, Bob. You're absolutely right. We are in the midst of a coup. You and Steve hit that in the first hour. Monica, I want to ask you a question about law enforcement before we run out of time, because we only got about a minute and a half. When I talked to you initially, you told me that local police were in charge. At some point while you were there and you guys were sequestered away from the action, did the law enforcement authority, did it change?
Well, it did, because the feds came in with the bomb tech unit, and we heard as soon as BT's coming in, you know, it was definitely, you know, then that it's serious. And there was law enforcement. It wasn't just the local in there. From the neighboring towns all came. I mean, there was a lot of police action going on, and definitely, I guess they said the FBI and the fire and what is it? It's and tobacco.
ATF. Yeah.
Yeah, ATF. So it was, I'm sorry, the FBI and the ATF are involved, yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I knew, we talked about that on the phone, Monica. We said that would, the local control over the event would soon give way to the FBI. And, of course, it makes sense they'd also bring in the ATF. Absolutely amazing.
See, they closed it down. They closed it down because of them. Because, honestly, we, you know, the reenactors wanted to keep going. They wanted to keep it safe, but they didn't want to be kicked out of. People are camping out at night, tenting out. Lots of people came from across the country. They didn't have anywhere else to go. They had to bust them to school and decide what to do.
Oh, boy.
But it pretty much took the control out of the hands of anyone locally that had anything to say. And so, yes, then it was definitely, you know, out of the hands of whoever would have made a decision knowing more about what's going on versus, you know, coming out from the outside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Monica, you've been great, as always, you know, for the show. You've been a tremendous guest and asset. And this is just one more feather in your cap. I want to thank you for having the courage to come forward and contacting me. Just don't call me when I'm putting. I almost missed that putt because of you.
But, sorry, I thought it was pretty important at the time.
It
even
was.
That I felt like I was in a terrorist attack, and I thought, on, you know, of all the things, and I work in D.C., of all the things that this has to happen here, and I thought, yeah. I didn't think that this would happen given I had just missed it. I had the last concert I saw was Jason Aldean, ironically, before that happened at the Jason Aldean concert.
Oh, my gosh.
So it really hit home as in, wow, I'm here at the next event, and this is really happening.
Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Well, we're going to have to do a podcast at some point this week, and I'll look at my calendar and get in touch with you as we kind of bring all this to conclusion, and we'll have pictures of everything. I got a lot of people who are downing my account. I was called liar on my own YouTube account today several times over. I suspect a lot of them were trolls, but some people were saying, where's the documentation? Wait a minute, idiot.
Oh,
it was a live event.
I can honestly say I was there.
No, Monica, that's not my point.
Fully there.
My point is,
I was a witness.
They're not going to believe it unless they see the hypertext link, and we're reporting from an eyewitness perspective. Anyway, we're out of time. We got to scoot, Monica. Thanks so much, and I'll be in
all
touch
right.
with you. And, Bob, I totally agree with your assessment here about what you need to do with social media to everybody else. We're running right up into third hour, and we're going to have Army PSYOP, former Army PSYOP officer Scott Bennett, and he's going to have a mountain of things to say. Don't touch that dial. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.